Welcome back to the download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Coffin. Well, my next guest is a music legend, one of the most recognizable trumpets in the world. Of course, I'm talking about Herb Alpert. Herb Alpert is considered to be one of the biggest instrumental performers in music history. Alpert started out playing at a young age, wrote songs for Sam Cooke and others, and came of age in the 60s when his work with the Tijuana Brass outsold and outcharted the Beatles. Amazing! At that time, Alpert also began his career as a record executive. He was the co-founder of A&M Records, which introduced us to a number of huge artists, including Cat Stevens, The Police, and Janet Jackson. He ended up selling the label back in 1990 for millions. Alpert continues to put out album after album, and his latest is called Herb Alpert Music Volume 1. And when you listen to it, you realize that Herb Alpert hasn't skipped a beat. He's coming to town at City Winery on November 6th and 7th. And also, it was announced that Alpert's sculptures, the 12 spirit totem sculptures that you see when you walk into the Field Museum, well, they were temporary, but now they will be permanently displayed. What can't Herb Alpert do? He's my guest tonight on The Download. Mr. Alpert, it's a pleasure. Thanks for being here.
I can't make peace. I'd like to be able to do that.
You know, listening to the music today and listening to the album, Volume 1, it really does harken back to some of your work and trumpet work and all the stuff that we know you so well. Is that the idea when you create new music like Volume 1 that you really want to stay in the same lane that you've created for all these years?
I try to make music that's interesting to play. You know, I feel like if it's fun for me to play, it's going to be fun for a certain amount of people to listen to. Mm-hmm. And I just keep doing it. I'm passionate about it. You know, I started playing when I was 8 years old, and I had this amazing opportunity in my grammar school. There was a music appreciation class, and there was a table filled with instruments. I picked up the trumpet, and the trumpet was talking for me because I'm very shy. You know, I'm an introvert. And this trumpet was talking for me at a very early age and became very good friends with it, and it's obviously changed my life.
You know, you got your start in the music industry writing for other artists. I mentioned Sam Cooke. But talk about that experience and how that shaped your world and helped you become the artist that you are.
Well, Sam was an amazing artist to watch. You know, he came out of the gospel field. He was a lead singer with the Soul Stirrers, and then when Lou Adler and I joined Keen Records, Sam already had that record, the big record of You Send Me. And then from that point on, we were just watching him in the studio. You know, he was kind of a mentor to me, but he didn't think about that at all. He was so sincere about what he was singing and how he was writing. And I learned great lessons from him. I mean, one in particular was, you know, he used to walk around with a notebook and filled with lyrics. And one day he came up to me and he said, "Herbie, what do you think of this lyric?" Well, I was looking at it, and I didn't say this to him, but man, I was thinking about it. And it was the corniest lyric I've ever seen. That's what I was thinking, you know. And I said, "Well, what does it sound like? What's the song? How does it go? Can you pick up your guitar and play it?" So he picked up his guitar, started singing this song, and holy moly, the song turned into, it was like another, I loved it. I mean, it with his passion, which is with his, you know, way of putting notes together with the chords he was using and the feeling, it just transformed this thing that I thought was super corny into something that was brilliant. And from that point on, I just realized it ain't what you do, it's the way how you do it. And that's what I was pursuing, because I found myself trying to emulate my favorite musicians like Louis Armstrong and Harry James and Miles Davis. And I could play a little bit like them, but then I got the aha. Who wants to hear that? They've already done it. Yeah. So I was looking for my own voice, and I found my own voice. And then when Miles Davis said, "You hear three notes and you know it's Herb Alpert," I knew I arrived with that voice.
That's amazing. I can even imagine as a trumpet player to have that kind of accolade thrown on you. All right, so Tijuana Brass, what a tremendous, iconic music. There's not a person in the world that doesn't know that music. At the time when you were going through it and you were having such success, and you've talked about how you created that sound, which is so impressive, and it wasn't just a straight listening to mariachi bands. There was a lot that you put into the recording and the presence of the trumpet in that music. But when you recorded it and you put it out and it started to be successful, At what point did you recognize this is bigger than I ever thought it could be?
Yeah, we were just putting out one record. We weren't really starting A&M Records. We were starting to put out one particular side to see what would happen, because there were a lot of little record companies at that time, 1962. Record companies operating out of the trunks of their car. So when this record happened and it took off like a rocket ship, we had a challenge to see if we can hang on to it, because our distributors that my brilliant partner Jerry Moss put together, they said, hey, why don't you guys just take the money and run? You guys got lucky with this thing because you're close to Tijuana and blah, 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 you know. And that really sparked us. And they wanted a Lonely Bull album. So we gave them that. And then I got a letter from a lady in Germany while this record was in top 10 in the country. And the letter said, dear Mr. Alpert, thank you for sending me on this vicarious trip to Tijuana. You know, and I chuckled when I read it. And then I said, holy moly, this record was so visual to her. It transported her. And I said, that's the type of music I want to make. I want to make music that takes you someplace. Yeah. Well, that takes me someplace, and it takes the listener someplace.
Yeah, it's so interesting, too, because you mentioned that, the visual part of the music. It really does. Your music takes you to a place or to a feel. It's funny because a lot of your work, I think of even the visual work that's on the records and the albums, I mean, are iconic. The whipped cream or the album covers and everything in between. Visual is a big part of your music. It defines Herb Alpert and Tijuana Brass.
I'm honest about what I'm doing. I'm basically a jazz musician, and I like that spontaneity. I think the arts, whether it be painting, sculpting, acting, writing poetry, dancing, making music, it's all about feel. You have to have the feel. You have to be honest about what you're doing. It has to project an honesty that it goes beyond the record. It travels, and I think that's the key. But along with that, it's all about timing. You know, if you're at the right place at the right time and you're prepared, things can happen. If we tried to start A&M Records in today's environment, it would not have happened at all. So I got lucky. I got lucky with the timing. I was ready. We had the right song. And then instead of, when we wanted to hang on to the Tijuana Brass sound and the record company, I could have played this Tijuana Brass Lonely Bull sideways and upside down and, you know, try to capitalize on that, but I didn't. I tried to see how far I could take that sound, and that's what happened. I got inspired and got lucky, and I was inspired by the record sales, and one thing led to another. Here I am.
Herb Alpert on the line with us. He's going to be at City Winery on November 6th and 7th. He's got a new album out, Herb Alpert Music Volume 1. He's got a Christmas album as well that's coming out, too. We'll talk about that in a second. A&M Records, even with the stuff that you were doing, Tijuana Brass, but even as I mentioned, the artists that you were, you know, that you signed and that you developed, whether it be The Police, Cat Stevens we mentioned, or Janet Jackson. I'm interested because you mentioned the idea that it's all about the feel. Is that what you're looking for? Was that what you were looking for in those bands when you would go and A&M Records started to branch out and do other artists? Is that the primary thing you were looking for when signing an artist?
Absolutely. That was it. And that's what I learned from Sam Cooke. Sam was auditioning this artist because he was the first black artist to have his own label. It was called SAR Records. And he was interviewing an artist that he was excited about. This guy was beautiful to look at, green eyes, and came in with a box, put his foot on the box, and was playing guitar, and I was listening to him. I was in the control room. Sam was out in the studio with him, and he came into the control room. He says, what do you think? I said, man, I think the guy's great. He's beautiful. He writes nice music. He says, do me a favor. Turn your back on him for 5 minutes and tell me what you think. I turned my back on him, and I didn't get it. He said, that's it, man. It's people don't care if you're black or white or what kind of echo chamber you're using it either. It feels good, it makes you feel good, or it doesn't. And so I take this forward to A&M. Whenever I auditioned a group, it was always with my eyes closed. I didn't want to be intimidated by the way somebody looked or the way they could dance or the way they can, you know, present something other than what they sounded like and how it attracted me. And that doesn't mean I was, you know, always right about that. Because I auditioned a lot of groups that I really didn't understand. But I'd always tell them, I said, look it, man, just because I ain't receiving your message, that doesn't mean you ain't sending anything. It's just that I'm not getting it. So I wanted to be very careful with that because I never wanted to turn anyone off. But it's, to me, it's all about the feel. You know, when I heard that tape of the Carpenters in 1970, I closed my eyes on my couch, listened to this tape, and this voice was like almost like sitting next to me on the couch, and it was Karen. And so I wanted to meet them. I arranged for a meeting, and when I met Karen and Richard Carpenter, I knew that this was a music that was sincerely coming out of them. This was the music they loved to make. It wasn't necessarily my cup of tea, the type of music I would normally gravitate towards, but I understood the feeling that they were coming across with, and that was the thing that attracted me to them. And we tried to, you know, create a record company with artists that had something special, uniquely special to say. And we weren't looking for the beat of the week. We were looking for the, you know, the Cat Stevens of the world and the Stings and the Police and the Quincy Jones and the Janet Jacksons. You know, those people had their own little thing, and they weren't immediate hits. You know, they were just, they had to flag themselves down to that runway. And that was so beautiful the company.
What amazing history. Herb, as you got the new album out, it's doing great. It's topping the contemporary jazz charts and iTunes. You're coming to City Winery. As you continue to be an artist and you continue to produce music, and not just music, you mentioned the sculptures at the Field Museum or any of the other stuff, what are the challenges that are in front of you? You just talk about these stories and you're like, oh, Herb Albertson, everything. What are the things that are next for you as an artist that you still want to contribute to society?
Oh, that's easy. I mean, there's a... You know, Dizzy Gillespie was a good friend of mine, and Dizzy used to say about the trumpet, he says, man, the closer I get, the farther it looks. So, I mean, you never get to be where you want as a musician or as a painter or as an artist. You're always looking for that next thing to take it up to the next level, and that's the challenge. That's the fun part of, you know, being an artist. You never arrive, you know, you're always striving, and that's what I love.
Fascinating and completely humbled to talk to Herb Alpert tonight. He is going to be at the City Winery on November 6th and 7th. He's got a new album out right now, Herb Alpert Music Volume 1. He's also got a Christmas album that's coming out. Herb, a pleasure to talk with you. I can't thank you enough for taking some time out to talk with us, and good luck with the shows here in
Yeah,
Chicago.
Justin, we're looking forward to it. We played at the winery before. I love it, and we happen to be playing there on my wife's, Lonnie's, birthday, November 6th, and obviously, you know, most of you folks know that Lonnie's from Chicago, and I love Chicago.
Hey, that's great.